Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a gorgeous Saturday morning, February the 21st, 2015, and I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank my sponsors who make all of this possible with their loving kindness. It is only through their sponsorship that you see any of the TV programs that are on our website right now, our beautiful radio programs here that serve humankind. And believe me, they do. I get lots of email about it. Our commentaries, our podcasts, videocasts, everything that I offer is only available because of the generosity of the few. So I hope that some of you listening will become sponsors and help us maintain our Aspire website and its service to humankind. There are many things I know you could support, but what could be more important than that of the heart, the spiritual heart, that actually rules the earth in the sense that it is behind everything that is about love, goodness, peace, mercy. It is about personal transformation. And until we change, until we grow, until we mature, all we can do is hope. In the basic premise of spirituality comes the way of the heart, and it is the most important thing that we enter into, the way of the heart. It is hard to describe to those who live kind of exclusively in the emotional realm of life to understand the nature of the heart and what this is really all about. When Burt Bacharach wrote, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love," he was correct. It wasn't the emotional love that a lot of us get involved in. It's about the heartfelt love of our being, of our soul, of our essence. And there are very few, in my opinion, authentic teachers out there who are not trying to blister us with the idea of right and wrong, good and bad, and teach us the way, the simple way to love. And that's what it's all about here on Aspire, and I am very grateful that you listen. Let's get to some questions here. The first one comes from Brad. All of the questions that I have chosen are on the theme and the subject of forgiveness. And I feel it is really, really important to understand this theme, this subject of forgiveness. So I kind of collect questions over weeks and months until I get enough where I feel like I can present to you a program on one given subject. So we're going to be working on forgiveness today. From Brad in Los Angeles, I need to forgive, but my mind will not allow me to do so, even though I think I want to do it. I know you would debate me on this subject. Why can't I forgive? I love you, Brad. I love your honesty. I love your integrity. I love your question. I was deeply moved. Very few people ever write me about the whys of why. They are only interested in certain things. And typically those certain things have to do with what they want to get in their life and how they want to get it and when they want to get it and blah, blah. So your question is highly unique for me. Forgiveness is so simple. It is so beautiful. It is like a lotus blossom sitting on the muck and the mire of all sorts of sewage and floating there and becoming more and more beautiful as the days go on. But we have a difficult time with this whole thing called forgiveness because we are in an environment where hate and fear are more prominent than kindness and love. And because the body is susceptible to the environment of the collective unconscious that we live in, this spiritual environment that we don't really recognize nor understand, we tend to live more by our instincts rather than our compassion, our love, our spirituality. So it is natural for you to struggle. It would be natural for all of us to struggle with it. We struggle with the whole idea of being spiritual and the whole idea of forgiving because it doesn't come from our bodies. So, Brad, I'm going to be very blunt with you. Because we have lived, all of us, so willfully in the body and from the body, we identify ourselves as the body and as a body, we find it very difficult to move into anything other than what the body wants, the way the body lives. So we live in a body that wants this and doesn't want that. And we have, so to speak, been very subservient to this body. It wants comfort. It wants food. It wants pleasure. It wants money. It wants whatever it wants. And it goes on and on and on. It is always wanting something, and most of our life has been to appeasing that something, to giving it whatever it wants, when it wants, and how it wants it. So, as we have been subservient to this, and our identity about who and what we are is subservient to this, we go on and on living as we do, subservient to the environment of emotionality. Now, emotions are the issue, not your mind. Your mind is pointed towards your emotions. You can't change your emotional nature by altering it with another emotion and another emotion and another emotion. It can't be done. It will not be done. And this is what people try to do futilely. You think that you have emotions that are not so wonderful, so you try to replace them with others, and that won't work. I watch students do this, and even though I tell them not to, they do it anyway. They love doing their mischief and thinking of their life through mischief. And so the mischief is always about the human body and what it's about and what it's trying to get. When I live from this premise and this premise alone, which is what most of us do until we start to giving consideration over to something else, we find it difficult to do the spiritual things that are necessary, like forgiveness and loving kindness. Everything is about sympathy. Everything is about some kind of foolish idea of equality. We are not all equal in this world. We come here with different venues, as I call it, inside. Things we have done, things we have had to do, things we have experienced on other shores and other places. And we bring the totality of ourselves into this world. This totality has all sorts of different means. Some of the means are elements of past life hate and fear and anger that we have brought into this life, and we have not seen it for what it is. So, Brad, when you can't forgive someone for what they have done, it's a sure sign of a trait of the soul that you have brought into this lifetime, the energies that you have brought in, that I have brought in, that we have all brought in. Now, what are we to do with all of this? How are we to deal with it? How? If I deal with it through my own energies, I'm going to do nothing but deal with it through hate and fear, and that will be ugly. And that's what a lot of us do. We bring it into hate and fear, and we make it ugly. And that's how we live our life. But if you can see a bigger picture, if you can see the one thing that most people can't, and that is futility. The futility of being emotional. Now, when you can see that, when you can recognize the futility of our emotionality and how that futility works, when you can see that it is futile to try to alter your emotions, it would be more, shall we say, intelligent to abandon them and let them go. That is when you and I find that our emotions can convert into what they're meant to be and not what we think they are, and they can actually be a conduit to love and to goodness. They can be a conduit to compassion, and they can actually alter and change the way we live our life. But for most of us, that premise is difficult, abstract, and, of course, nonsensical to the mind, because the mind has been trained to live according to the matter of the emotional patterns we live by, the moods, I call it, of my emotions. The reason you cannot forgive is not because you're incapable of it, but because you've pointed your mind to the idea of trying to sort out your emotions. These are good ones, these are bad ones. And based on these, this is what's fair and this is what's not fair. This is what's right, this is what's wrong. And as long as I live in that, I will miss everything that is pertinent to my heartfelt love, to the love that exists beyond the ideas and the idealisms of Gregory. If I live in Gregory, he will think, oh, that's what I should be doing. No, that's what I shouldn't be doing. And this is all horse manure, just horse manure. When you are no longer fooled, Brad, by the state of your emotions, you will find you don't forgive. It is just about forgiveness, and you will be forgiving without even thinking about it. You won't have a thought about it. It won't be some emotional impulse. You are forgiveness. Not, I should forgive. You are forgiveness. Hence, the words never need to be spoken. You are that which you seek. And that, my friend, is a very valuable moment in a lifetime. Brad, I hope I helped you. Your question was intelligent and bright and beautiful. And I thank you. And please forgive me. Namaste. Forgiveness is not something we do. It's not some thing we bestow upon another person. It never really needs to be said. If you are forgiving, no one never needs to come to you and say, please forgive me. I beg for your forgiveness. That should tell you something about me. It's about a certain state of humility. Next one comes from Jessica. And she just says Northern California. In my opinion, forgiveness must be earned. What do I do with those that I hate? I did nothing to earn their hate. It seems to me that they must gain my respect by apologizing. What do you think, Jessica? I don't know if you're talking out of the feminine mystique here or not. I don't know. I know men who think that forgiveness has to be earned too. So I don't think this is just a gender thing. No, I disagree with you. I do not see it the way you do. I understand where you're coming from. I understand how you might think about it, but I don't agree with this at all. Not even remotely. Forgiveness does not have to be earned. If you are asking me for forgiveness and you have not changed your ways, I can still forgive you. You will have to deal with the way things work out via your karma. This is not for me to judge you on. I'm not here to say it's your karma that has done all this. You're going to get yours. Screw you. It's not my way. Forgiveness never has to be earned. If a person comes to you and does something crummy, and they ask for your forgiveness, and you say something like, well, I'll forgive you, but don't do it again. And they do it again. And you say, I warned you. Now I don't like you anymore, whatever. Then you have to understand the limits of your own forgiveness. I have found in my years of living, Jessica, no one has to earn anything from me. It is not a matter of earning. It is a matter of coming to the nature of something more profound than the human, quote-unquote, earning. I give everyone a chance again and again and again. It matters not what they have done. I understand how people are. I don't expect them to be any different than the way they are. If a person is untrustworthy, and they keep showing me that, and I understand the nature of it, I don't have to criticize them or tell them what boobs they are or whatever. All I need to do is understand this is the condition of this person's condition. This is as far as they go. I wouldn't give the key to a Ferrari to a 10-year-old. I just wouldn't do it. It's too much. Why would I give this person more than what they can handle? I treat them as such. I understand that they're prone to do this or prone to do that. And I don't make them responsible to my life for what they are. I am responsible to my life for what I am. And if I'm unkind or hateful towards them, I change nothing. You know what I've learned, Jessica, over the years of my work, and it brings tears to my eyes to say this to you. People are looking for one thing: compassion. They want to be forgiven. You have no idea how being forgiven can change a person's life. By being forgiving and not punishing or menacing to another person for their mistakes, we alter our own karma. I want you to think about it, Jessica. What if you were forgiven, really forgiven, for something that you did that was maybe uncalled for, unnecessary, whatever, I don't know. And you were truly forgiven when you expected to be punished, when you expected to be cast out, when you expected that people would, you know, dislike you or even hate you. How would you feel? It could alter your life deeply in a very loving way. All my life, I've just realized over the past, 20 years, all I ever wanted to be was forgiven. No one can forgive you. You and I must forgive ourselves. I can tell you, look, I understand it is forgiven. No worries. But that doesn't mean you believe it, and that doesn't mean you buy it. But it does mean there is an opportunity. Someone has entrusted you with forgiveness. And that's a big deal. That's really a big deal. And that's what I must do. I must be so kind. I must be so forgiving. I must be so living in forgiving that whatever you do is of no consequence to me taking emotions and being offended by them, because it would be ridiculous. If you can understand what I just said, it will answer your question. If people don't respect you, they don't respect you. Maybe it's the standard you and I are living in that is being disrespected, and not you or me. It is best to have no preferences. Neither this, neither that. Nati-nati, as we call it. And if you can live in nati-nati, neither this, neither that, you will find that gap, that pause, that space between everything, where life exists as pure love. And that, my dear, will be enough. Jessica, one last thing. I would suggest dropping your sword immediately. And please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Jay. He does not tell me where he lives, but he talks about the radio program and the TV programs in a very kind way, and I am grateful. Is forgiveness to forgive and forget? I have a very hard time forgetting what I need to forgive, Jay. The mind loves to cling to emotions because we have made it do that. It gratifies the electrodes in our body and the emotionality of our body. So the mind has been pointed towards that. I want you to understand the mind has no preferences. It is not an entity unto itself. It is whatever I point it towards. If I point it towards emotionality, then how will I ever forget what you've done that is so unforgivable to Greg, who is purely emotional? I've had a lot of people do a lot of ugly things to me in the course of my lifetime. Partly because of my teachings and being a teacher, and partly because of just living in this world like anyone else, like you and anyone. And I have found that forgiving is not a slogan, forgive, forget. It is much more powerful than that, much deeper than that. To truly forgive is not just in forgetting. It is a certain remembering what we are here for and what we are all about. And when I cling to the idea of something you have done that makes me feel as though I am a victim to you, it is I who have erred. It is I who have made the sin. It is I who have caused my own trouble, not you. Being obsessive and compulsive as Gregory is, as anyone is in their emotional nature, makes us believe that there is good and bad, right and wrong, but that is all not true. None of that is true. Just because I'm compulsive doesn't make it a reality. Reality is love. Reality is the nature of goodness within you. Reality is that everything that is being presented in this life that I resist as, quote unquote, a reality that I must forget, because you'll never forget it. Emotionality won't let you. The only way is to see the process and see it for what it is, as foolish. The process that brings about the futility of more hate, more hate, more hate, because I have a reason to. When I am done reasoning it all out, when I'm no longer interested in your sins, as it were, I'm more interested in the part of me that counts your sins, your mistakes. Now I have something of great value. and great worth. I always say to my students, let love live you. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the things that are deeply important and not on the things that are tenuous and silly. If you let love live you, much goodness will happen out of your life, much beauty. You will find the meaning and the significance of a life that is far greater than what you believe life is. It will change your life to no longer need to forget and forgive. Just be the forgiveness your life needs, that other people's lives need. If you can do that, which you can, by stepping back from your emotional nature, which you can, you're going to find tremendous changes within. Let love live you, my dear Jay, and please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you, please come to this website at aspire.org. You'll see at the top, contact. It's a little box up at the top. Just fill it out. Send me your email. And if you don't want me to use your name or where you live, you know I'll honor that. And let me know what I can do to be of service to you. I'm out of here. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.